Hi there. How do you manage your screen time effectively? Screen time means the amount of time that you spend on your devices, on your phone or laptop. Do you ensure that technology works effectively for you, or does it risk taking over your life? Today, I'm talking about smartphone use. This affects most of us, but it may be affecting our children and our teenagers much more. A teenager? That means someone whose age ends in teen, T-E-E-N. So people aged 13 to 19, they're teenagers or teens, as we sometimes call them. We all pass through this stage, of course, of being a teenager, though I'm old enough to say it was a very different world when I was a teenager. I remember one of my children asking me, "Mummy, what type of mobile phone did you have when you were at school?" This made me laugh. And I also remember the horror when I replied, "We didn't have mobile phones or computers. We only had landlines and those red telephone boxes if we wanted to call someone." This world was very difficult for my children to imagine. Hello, I'm Hilary, and you're listening to Adept English. We will help you to speak English fluently. All you have to do is listen. So start listening now and find out how it works. Those British red telephone boxes, quite an icon. They've now been made into all kinds of things, including free book exchanges. And one I know locally is filled with silk flowers. So here we have an English language learning podcast on a relevant topic. Plenty of useful common English vocabulary here. Don't forget, if you want to practice your English, listen to this podcast a number of times. So, a question. What if this tech-savvy world with our ever-present smartphones is changing us in ways we hadn't fully realised? And changing the lives and the psychology of our children and our teenagers. So mobile phones, and in particular smartphones, have been with us for quite a lot of years now. And if you're a teenager through to 20-something, it probably feels like you've always had a smartphone. It's hard to imagine life without. Smartphones are such an integral part of our lives. What did we do before? How would we do without them? Yet the UK government in February this year issued guidelines, strong advice, if you like, to schools pushing a mobile phone-free environment during school hours, basically banning mobile phones in school. This move is aimed at fostering better social interactions and focus on learning. And it's supported by many people, including me. The government guidelines go as far as advising searching bags for mobile phones, and even mobile phones that are switched off are not allowed in school. The school that my children have gone to has always had this rule, and I think that's a good thing. You go to school to learn academic subjects like maths, English, chemistry, geography, but you also go to school to learn to socialise, have a conversation, get along with people, make friends, and generally communicate in real life. The lack of phone has meant at times that as a parent it's been difficult to get a message to my child in school, inconvenient even. But I think this is a price worth paying. I think the UK government have got it right on this one. If you're a parent with a teenager or even a younger child, you may know from your own experience how difficult it is to take their phones and their technology away. It can feel sometimes like you're asking them to withdraw from an addictive drug. They get really angry and unpleasant if you take their technology away. They go into a sort of withdrawal and don't know what to do with themselves if you take their technology away. Just looking at my daughters in their 20s, phone and technology use was something I worried about when they were growing up. But now they both have to use technology for their work, so they do value being offline and interacting with friends in real life. their phones seem to be used appropriately for messaging, staying in touch, doing research, buying things, finding places, maybe watching videos. But phones don't take the place of real-life meeting for them, so it doesn't seem problematic to me. With my son, age 15, it's different. The COVID pandemic arrived just as he was 11 years old and starting secondary school. Playing video games and interacting online with people was his only way of making friends and spending time with friends. Though he does see them now in real life too, of course. But during the pandemic and since, it's felt much harder to take his technology away. It's been where his friendships have happened, his connection with the outside world. And I find myself completely unable to remove his iPad because that's where he does his homework. But thankfully, my son's school have never allowed mobile phones. So friendships are in real life when he's in school. And that's a good thing. But perhaps for all of us, the COVID-19 pandemic highlighted the essential role of technology in staying connected with people. Yet it showed us also the necessity of balance and that there's no substitute for real life meeting. So we are growing increasingly concerned about mobile phone use, specifically the use of smartphones, for all of us, but especially for children and teenagers. That UK government advice is driven by teachers' feedback. Teachers need their students' attention to be able to teach. That's impossible in a room full of kids on mobile phones. But actually, further data is coming out that raises questions about smartphone use. Social psychologist Jonathan Haidt has written a book called The Anxious Generation. In this book, he presents the idea that the huge increase in mental health problems amongst our children and teenagers coincides with, started at the same time as, smartphones became the norm. More on this in a minute. First of all, if you have some time off work, maybe for Easter, or if you don't celebrate Easter, maybe you've got a holiday coming up soon, why not download one of our podcast bundles? 50 Adept English podcasts can be yours. So whatever you spend your free time or your holiday time doing, you can be improving your English at the same time. You know where to find all that, adeptenglish.com. Certainly in the UK, you don't have to look far to find data on how mental health problems for children and teenagers have become far more common in recent years. Hugely so, in fact. Mental health services in the UK are stretched to breaking point. The number of children referred to emergency mental health care has gone up by 50% just in the last 3 years. But generally, rates for mental health problems have risen exponentially in the last 10 years. That's exponentially, E-X-P-O-N-E-N-T-I-A-L-L-Y. It means off the chart as a rise. Depression, anxiety, eating disorders, self-harm, suicidality, it's all rising at a frightening rate. That's a subject for another day, another podcast perhaps. But the connection that social psychologist Jonathan Haidt is making is an interesting one. There is a time correlation, C-O-R-R-E-L-A-T-I-O-N, between the rise in mental health difficulties and the adoption of smartphones. In other words, if you saw on a graph the rise in mental health problems and the adoption of smartphones, it would look pretty much the same. Jonathan Haidt talks about how technologies have not taken responsibility here. And here comes the more difficult English in the form of a quotation for you to practice with. He says, companies have done little or no research on the mental health effects of their product tips on children and adolescents, that means teenagers, and they've shared no data with researchers studying health effects. When faced with growing evidence that their products were harming young people, they mostly engaged in denial, obfuscation, and public relations campaigns. That's what Jonathan Haidt says. Obfuscation. That's O-B-F-U-S-C-A-T-I-O-N. Lovely word. If you obfuscate, yes, there's a verb too, it means that you purposefully make something difficult to understand or confusing. So people obfuscate in order to avoid a truth being known. It's very common. Obfuscation, I find, in this world. Large organisations, again, I'm afraid. Jonathan Haidt also talks about the ways in which these large tech companies and software designers purposefully use psychology and psychological tricks to make their apps more addictive, especially to children. Haidt says, and I'm quoting again, "For girls, some of the greatest damage is inflicted by social media. For boys, video games and porn sites have the most damaging impacts." And I say, children's brains are not fully developed. It takes until your mid to late 20s for your brain to be fully mature. So children are hardly able to resist clever psychological tricks thought up by clever adult psychologists and designed to manipulate. And companies are concerned only by profit, making money, and growing their user numbers. Hardly fair, is it? And technology addiction is a real thing. So there's that problem of addiction and reliance on technology to feel okay, but also damaging, I think, and more hidden. What is it that smartphone use and technology displaces? The verb to displace, D-I-S-P-L-A-C-E, it means to take the place of something. So all that time on our smartphones, what would we be doing instead? And what would our children and teenagers be doing instead if they weren't doing that? Well, without wanting to sound entirely like an old person talking about the good old days, I grew up without mobile phones or computers, and it meant I spent my time reading books, out on my bike, seeing friends, making things, making art, doing crafts, playing board games. That's B-O-A-R-D. Those were the things that I learned to get pleasure from. If I'd had access to a smartphone, I'm pretty sure I'd have done a lot less of all those things too. And these activities are still there in my adult life. I enjoy them a lot, and I'd be missing out hugely if I hadn't made those connections with these activities. So I can see that one of the most damaging aspects of the widespread use of smartphones for children and teenagers, it's all the things that they do less of. It means that they read less, they interact with others less, they go out less, they exercise less. Perhaps they're not as creative. Much of the damage, I would argue, is done by what smartphone use displaces. All the stuff that children and teenagers and us adults don't do because we're using our technology. And I haven't even touched on the damage done to marriages and relationships by smartphone use. Perhaps that's for another day too. So it's the Easter holidays here, and I know I'm going to have to battle with my 15-year-old. We'll negotiate how many hours a day of video gaming he's allowed versus how much time he's going to spend on studying for those all-important GCSE exams. So it's a battle I wage on the home front, as well as talking about it in this podcast. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this topic. Have smartphones affected your life or the lives of those around you? And do you think there's a link between smartphone use and the rise in mental health problems? It would be great to hear from you. Enough for now. Have a lovely day. Speak to you again soon. Goodbye. Thank you so much for listening. Please help me tell others about this podcast by reviewing or rating it. And please share it on social media. You can find more listening lessons and a free English course at adeptenglish.com.